Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Warning. The following episode contains details about sexual violence and elements that are graphic in nature.
So, when I'm talking to people about Lauren's tattoo, they always ask me, you know, why did she choose the word breathe? In her life, I mean, there was just so much going on and she was so active and she had so many friends and they came to her with their problems and she just always wanted to help them out and she always wanted to be involved in activities and she always was dancing. And so there was stress in her life, stress to accomplish things and to help her friends and to be there for everybody. And so the word breathe, I think she chose that because she told me one time, she goes, Mom, it's the ability to relax after a stressful or difficult event or situation. She said, I look at my tattoo. I look at the word breathe, and it tells me to pull it together.
The Lauren Agee case was hastily closed by authorities, but many questions remain. Come behind the curtain with private investigator Sheila Wysocki as she uncovers the truth about what happened to Lauren. This is Without Warning.
She came to me right a few days before this Wake Fest, and she said, Mom, I'm going to go, you know, to an event called Wake Fest. And I said, well, what is that? And she says, well, of what I've been told, it's like a boating event and it's about 2 hours away. And a lot of people go and you hang out on Sea-Doos and boats and you watch a competition wakeboarding event. And she said, so, you know, it'd be for a couple of days. We're going to spend the night in a cabin and I'll be back. So I'm just going to go Friday, come back Saturday. Chase and I have planned Saturday night, so I'll be back by 6 p.m. Well, then I said, well, who are you going with? And then she said, well, Mom, I'm going with Hannah Palmer. And I was like, why? And she said, well, a girl called and invited me to go, and Hannah's going too. And I said, well, you know, Hannah and you haven't been close lately. I said, why are you going with Hannah? She said, well, I am, Mom. There's going to be a lot of other people I know there. It's going to be great. Well, of course, I had my reservations, but she's 21, fixing to be 22. So, you know, what, as a mom, you know, you give them advice, but, you know, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't.
Samantha Arnold, who is an acquaintance of Lauren's, called Lauren and invited her to Wakefest. She invited her and then later said, we don't have enough room in the car. And that's how Hannah Palmer ended up driving with Lauren to Wakefest. Chase was Lauren's current boyfriend. He was in Hendersonville, Tennessee, expecting Lauren to come back. Chase and Lauren had plans to go to a party on Saturday night.
So the day she was leaving for Wakefest, she had called me and she said, Mom, can we go shopping? I want to, you know, go buy some things. And I said, well, Lauren, I got to work. You know, I can't meet you. So I rapidly got through with work and I rushed home because I wanted to see her before she left. So God would have it, I'm pulling down the road. She's leaving. We stop on the side of the road. And she gets out of the car and she runs over to me and gives me this giant bear hug. And I'm like, oh, Lauren, I said, be safe, be careful. I love you. And she let go and she went back to the car, but then she stopped again. And then she turned around, she came back, and she gave me one extra bear hug for whatever reason. And I held her really tight, and I said, Lauren, please be careful, okay? And what I always told her, make wise decisions. So she gave me a kiss on the cheek and ran off and got in the car. Now, what bothered me about that was that Hannah was in the car with Lauren and didn't look up, didn't wave, no eye contact, nothing. Now, as a mom, with your daughter fixing to go off with somebody, you would want them to go, hey, Miss Sherry, how are you doing? Something. But there was no communication, no eye contact, nothing.
When you drive to Wakefest, you go to Pates Ford Marina. The road to Pates Ford Marina is a very windy two-car highway. You park, you go down a hill to Fish Lips, which is basically a bar on the water. When you get into Fish Lips, it reminds you of if you've ever been to a Florida bar. It would be perfect in, you know, the Keys. It's got the decorations of fish and chairs that aren't quite level and tables that aren't quite level. And there's a lot of activity. Very friendly bartenders and owners. It's a very pleasant place. It reminds you of being on a vacation. When you go into Fish Lips, you feel like you're on a vacation. You don't feel like you're in the middle of Tennessee. The store is like a little store that has a little bit of everything. So you don't have to drive a half an hour to Walmart to get something. Very quaint, though. When you walk down the pier, it's about 10 boats on both sides. At the end of the pier is a quite large houseboat. From that pier, you can look up and see the cliff. Lauren, Aaron, and Hannah were outside Fish Lips most of the evening, and they walked to a houseboat, which is probably 9 or 10 deep, second to last houseboat, to get Chris Dowd, who was passed out on a houseboat.
Join us on Patreon if you want to look behind the curtain and see what really happens in investigations.
At the time of Wakefest, I was a deputy sheriff of White County, Tennessee. The lead police officer scheduled officers to come into work and handle the private events and concerts and such.
Chris Yarchuk was positioned outside of Fish Lips, where he could watch people coming and going on the dock. So he knew the different people that were at Wakefest. He's very good at identifying people. He has the background of a good investigator. He's seen a lot. He did water rescue. It was good that he was there working security because he was there Friday night and Saturday night, where he was able to meet Lauren. And then he was there the day that they found her body. He was one of the first responders on the scene. Chris Yarchuk is definitely commanding. When he walks into the room, you just know a presence is there. He's also a very emotional person. So you have a guy who's a police officer, who's passionate about what he does. He is all about justice. He's a tall guy, 6'2". I'm sure the girls would think he's good looking. Chris Yarchuk had no authority as a police officer to make any decisions in Lauren's case. He thought that the case was going to be handled the way he would handle it. And he told law enforcement his thoughts.
Yeah, I saw Lauren Saturday night several times at Fish Lips after the Wakefest event had ended and the nightlife started. I was making my rounds, so I'd walk around the outside of Fish Lips. And she saw me and just come running up and told me her name. And there were three of them sitting in the plastic Adirondack chairs, Aaron and Hannah. And then there was a little German Shepherd, 6-month-old-ish dog with them. And then Lauren. And I didn't even realize Christopher was with him until later on.
After Lauren spoke to Chris Yarchuk, she went with Hannah and Aaron to a houseboat. They stayed on the houseboat for a little bit and then went back to the cliff.
Hello.
Hey, is this Jade? So Jade was contacted on July 25th, which was a Saturday night, by Lauren through text messages. And Sunday was July 26th, and that's the day they found Lauren's body.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Jade, my name is Sheila Wysocki. I think you're expecting my phone call.
Yes.
I am working for the family of Lauren Agee.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, how did you know Lauren?
We didn't really go to school together. I went to Beach High School. She went to Hendersonville, but same graduating class.
And you just knew her through school then?
Well, friends, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And did y'all hang around each other?
Yes.
And you were at Wakefest?
I was not, no ma'am.
Okay, you were not at Wakefest. Where were you that weekend?
That weekend I was actually at home. She had texted me the night before. She texted me, and it was really brief, but she just asked if I could come get her. She said she wasn't having a good time. I was like, is there any way that's possible for you to come get me? And it was probably 10, maybe almost 11 o'clock when she texted me that.
Okay, now, do you know the exact date that she texted you that?
It was the 25th.
Okay, so it was the 25th, about 10 o'clock. Did you ever hear from her after that?
No, I tried to call her multiple times, and she didn't have good service out there. So I couldn't get the call to go through. So I told her I'd have to let her know if I could come get her or not, with it being so late and me not knowing where I'm going.
I've been on multiple body recoveries. Within 2 hours to up to 18 hours, and in some cases longer, and overnight, almost a day since a body went underwater. And depending on how deep the water is, the temperature of the water, the body builds up gases. So when the body builds up enough gases to be neutrally buoyant or buoyant, and at that time, the body starts to rise. So then the closer you get to the surface, the warmer the water is, the more gases build up rapidly, and then you float. So a body back in that cove, in anywhere from possibly 12 feet to 5 feet where she was found at the shore, the water temperature may have been 78 to 83 degrees that day. You're not going to float, even if you have drowned. You're not going to float from your bottom to the top of your head. You're going to be shoulders and head. From a distance, you saw bright pink and black, and upon getting closer, pink shorts and a black shirt, sleeveless, like a tank top. And she was at the waterline from her bottom to top of her head. She was at the surface.
One thing you said about the cove, though, that's a good place to place a body, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's out of line of sight from the marina. It's out of line of sight from normal boat traffic, excluding someone putting in just further west and north of the marina. There's a little boat ramp, and that's hardly ever used there. It's pretty steep, and it's a shallow launch, so it's you could lay something on the side of that bank and no one would see it for weeks, probably. So after I got the ID with Aaron, we went up to the tent, got the ID, went back down. Aaron and Chris were in a boat with Harry and Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I had a TWA officer take me to Hannah immediately. And that's when I audio taped my iPhone our conversation on the front of the houseboat.
Hey, all you true crime fans, this is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morph.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Where'd y'all sleep at, or where were y'all at?
At the camp.
So all y'all and your boyfriend and the dog and that other guy?
Everybody was up there, yeah.
So y'all all went up there together?
Yep.
Okay. And it was at 2 o'clock? Yeah, that was just
when she bummed a cigarette from you,
yeah.
That's when we came back here.
Yeah. Okay. What's this ex-boyfriend that she run into or whatever?
But she has a new girlfriend. He
right.
Has nothing to do with it,
One of the guys said that she tried to talk to him or they're fighting or he pushed her away or walked away from her.
Well, whatever. She said that she went up and had confronted them, but
yeah.
She's full of drama, so.
Okay.
That's what I'm just being around it today and hearing that's what I heard, too. I don't know. I wasn't even down there last night, but that's what I heard
yeah.
this morning, too.
Okay.
That she had...
How many of y'all slept up there last night?
Four of us.
So, your boyfriend, the dog, that other cat with the long blonde hair...
Yeah, and her.
And y'all, would you canoe over there? Okay.
And she was fine.
Y'all went to, but y'all slept in the tent, all of you together, four of you?
No, us two slept in the tent, her and Chris slept in like a hammock.
Yeah.
And
which one's Chris?
He said when he woke up, blonde hair.
The guy that was wearing, like the Bieber hair, swishy blonde?
Probably,
your boyfriend's got the longer hair, right?
Yeah, you saw
yeah.
him.
Okay.
The fully tatted guy's Chris.
Yeah.
Tall. Okay.
Yeah, it was
so him and her slept in a what?
A hammock. And he said...
Oh, okay.
I woke up, and I woke him up, and I said, where's Lauren? And he said, she got up a while ago. He was like, but I didn't feel her anything, but she had gotten up. And I said, okay, have you seen her since? And he said, no. And I asked how long. He said he wasn't sure, because, I mean, we'd been drinking, obviously,
yeah.
So we were laying in our hammocks and tents and stuff, and...
Did you guys go to a houseboat after, or go to walk the dock, or do anything after you left the bar?
Yeah,
just
when we left the bar, when you last saw her, we walked
yeah.
all the way down, got in the canoe, and went up there.
Okay.
And she was fine when we went. I'm just.
Yeah.
I know she probably went to pee, but she didn't have her shoes, she didn't have her keys, wallet, phone, and she, would not leave without that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I've known her since I was 10. Like,
yeah.
I know she wouldn't leave without that.
Well, EMS is over there, and the DeKalb County Sheriff's Department's over there. My jurisdiction stops at that point, and so it's not out of my county. So we'll go see if we can make a positive ID. Did you have a shirt on that you know? What color of shirt? Or no? So barefoot?
For some reason, last I remember her, she had a white jacket that was still up there. When I went up there, it was still up there, and she had a black tank top and pink shorts.
Okay.
But her jacket thingy was up there.
Okay.
So I think a black tank top, pink shorts is what she had,
unless
she changed before with the evacuation.
Are you from Hendersonville also?
We live in the same neighborhood.
Okay. So the whole group came here together. Well, you know, we don't know anything yet.
Right. Y'all don't know if she has pink shorts on.
I have not been over there.
We got an ID of hers.
Yeah, I went up with your boyfriend to the campsite.
We
got a deal
right now, and we'll have to wait.
We got her ID. So if it is or isn't, we can determine. You know, when they
we don't know where it is.
EMS has to do whatever they're doing with the person.
Oh, they do.
And all that. So that's all we know. They're just over there on the boat. They're on a pontoon around the corner there. Just where at the bottom by the rope.
Are we going over there?
No, not right now.
We're going to hold tight.
Yeah.
And let's figure out what's going on. I'm sorry. Can't imagine what you're feeling right now, and I'm really sorry. But let's
her phone still up there then?
Everything was in her phone.
Okay. Take some deep breaths. You know, we don't know anything yet, you know? So.
It's pretty obvious. I wouldn't be on this boat if it weren't.
Why you say that?
Because, I mean, coincidentally, my friend, I can't find her. And the whole time I'm worried, I'm like, she probably went to pee in the middle of the night and fell. But then I went down and I heard she might have gone on a houseboat, so I thought she'd be at Wakefest.
Who said she got on a houseboat?
Evan. He said that she came back and that she said she was going to have to stay on a houseboat.
Why would she have to stay there?
Because we had canoed back. Or she thought we canoed back. We had actually gone up there, but she had said we canoed back, so I'm going to have to stay on a houseboat.
Now, I didn't follow that. So y'all came back without her, and she
thought we left her
here at the campsite.
Yeah, okay. She thought we had left her at the bar.
Okay.
And so, I guess Evan said that she said that because we had left her, which we were just about the car, we came back to the bar, that she's gonna have to stay on a houseboat. So I don't know if that was before or if that was after she last saw me. You know.
We all left together, so.
Yeah, she got up.
When you take the canoe from the houseboat and you paddle over to the cliff, you go to the left side of the cliff, the back side. There were ropes already set up to get up there to hold on while you went up there. And I'll tell you, that's very important because every time I've gone up there, there were no ropes. So I had to crawl on my hands and knees. I think the ropes were very valuable. It wasn't very far into the cliff that they were set up. So you would row to the cliff and straight ahead as you're rowing to the cliff, you would see a cove. And that's the one I referred to as the first cove. To the left of that is a second cove. And that second cove is where Lauren was found. So it was further, much further from the cliff. On the cliff, there were two campsites. The guys set up chairs up there, tents, tiki torches, and Enos. An Eno is just a hammock. Eno is just a brand. So there was an upper campsite, and then there was like this gully little dip to go on the second campsite. And the second campsite is not very big. Most people would say, why would anybody be up here camping? But they're young kids. They're risk takers. It's that generation. There were tarps that were at the back of the tent, and they were stacked one on top of another, blue and green. And then behind the tent and the tarps was the pee area. That's where they said they all went to pee.
I had went with Aaron to the campsite initially. And he tried to walk me to the tent. And I saw hammocks and chairs. So the first thing I came to was that little bluff section. So I walked up there first just to see. The first articles of clothing that I recognized walking up to the campsite were Lauren's shoes, the black flip-flops with the rhinestones, and then a zip-up sweater that she had on, hoodie that she had with her that night. Shoes were in front of the chair placed like she just slipped them off, and then the sweater was placed over the back of the chair. Then later on, in a photograph, I noticed that all of those items were in front of the tent on the ground, just kind of laid in order.
Staged? Would you say staged?
I mean,
Moved.
They weren't where they initially were or she had last left them. And I don't know if that's the picture they're using as this is what we found.
It is.
Well, if it is, they're damn liars.
So where was the dog? We have always wondered where the dog was. The one that you saw, you don't know?
I hadn't seen the dog since the night, since Saturday night.
Virginia is a German Shepherd that is an emotional support dog for Aaron Lilly.
When we went up there to get the ID out of the tent, there was no dog up there. First thing that threw a red flag up to me was them waiting. I looked at them as we passed, and we made that right-hand turn to go back in the cove, and then they're paddling, yelling about their friends missing. The only time you're going to report it is when law enforcement is en route to the body.
Michael Smith, Lauren's stepfather, had been in Lauren's life since she was 3 years old.
You know, Lauren was a Mustang. She was hard to put a bridle on her. And so as a parent, that was always a challenge. But, you know, we had those awkward early teenage years, and she had gotten through really all of that, all of us unscathed, all friendly, all talking still. And I thought that was a great accomplishment. And we were just entering into a new phase where Lauren and I were becoming really good friends. And I don't know. I think that's what I'll probably miss the most, because I knew that friendship was really, really starting to develop.
So Lauren was 21 years old. She was vivacious. She was young. She was a little dynamite like her mom. She's got that very big personality, and she would not back down. And she was very solid in what she believed. Lauren was 5'4", weighed between 110 to 115 pounds, black hair, good figure, great skin. Lauren was very fit. She was a dancer. She had great balance. She was athletic, very steady on her feet, but very light on her feet. Lauren was a lifeguard at one point in her life, so she understood water, rescue, how to handle the water. Lauren could swim. I got a psychological profile of Lauren. First of all, I gather all the information. So what we would do is talk to the different people in Lauren's life from, you know, of course, you start with the family and then you talk to the friends. And then if you don't have a good feel for her, you would go further into her teachers and stuff. With Lauren, she was an easy profile because she was pretty defined as a person. And then I took that to a sociologist who gave me a feel for the entire group of kids, including Lauren. Lauren's psychological profile was she was a mentally stable young lady, very smart, very ambitious, wanted more out of life. She was not suicidal. So the medical examiner, in his narrative, has that her death was caused by blunt force trauma, head and back. Also reported on the medical examiner report was possible drowning. I don't understand possible drowning. You either have water in your lungs or you don't. She didn't. In the narrative, it says manner of death, accident. Lynn is one of the witnesses that found Lauren's body. He is the kindest person who cares so much about the case, and he was deeply affected by finding her body.
Hello.
Hey, Lynn. This is Sheila Wysocki. I have a couple of questions. You and your son were the ones that found Lauren, correct?
Right.
And she was face down when you found her, or was she face up?
Face down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been there.
Oh, I've been there several times.
Okay. Well, it was the left side, and we just pulled right back up there as far as you could go on the left side, and I looked over there, and I saw something that was a color that wasn't natural. It was a bright color that caught my eye, you know.
Right.
And we had already stopped. Dylan just started fishing, and I couldn't get that off my mind. And I asked Dylan, I said, what's that laying over there? He said, somebody just threw something out, I guess. But we got a little close enough to see that it was a person. And she was floating face down. I remember her hair was floating in the water.
Mm-hmm.
All I could see was her, you know, she had on a bright color, I guess, shorts or
right.
Bottom, maybe like a, I don't know what you call the color, a bright pinkish color, I guess, pinkish orange.
Now, I understand your son is an EMT person. Did he think anything unusual about the way you found her?
Well, the only thing he said, which I'm not used to dealing with stuff like that. I about died myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That drove me crazy. But, of course, he sees more things than a lot of people, so it didn't disturb him as much as it did me. But my first instinct was we got to get her. I could tell it was a her because of I assumed it was a her because of the long hair and the clothes, you know. I said, we got to get her. And he tried to calm me down. He said, Dad, there's no need, and we don't need to touch her. He said, it's too late. He assured me that there was nothing we could do. When the TWRA got there, we went out there and met them and took them back there close enough that we could show them where she was at. And they asked me a few questions, and that's the only people we ever talked to. We never talked to the police.
So the police never got in touch with you? Did you do a statement?
Just to the wildlife, ma'am.
Okay. And then, so Jeremy Taylor or the DeKalb County people never talked to you then?
No.
Okay.
I was like a total wreck.
Oh, I know. I mean, it is, I'm so sorry. It is the worst. Honestly, you never forget it.
Brian Agee is Lauren's biological father. Lauren Agee's parents were divorced. Brian Agee's family calls Lauren Taylor. So you'll hear Brian Agee say Taylor. Sherry and her side of the family call her Lauren. So Lauren's friends will call her either Taylor or Lauren.
The last time I talked to her was the Friday that she was going. And she had stopped and leaving. And her mother jumped out of the car and said, oh, wait a minute, she's leaving. Going to Wake Fest. Is it going where? And so I said, well, let me talk to her. And I told her, I said, hey, I've got stuff in the car. I'll be available. I'll be, you know, within a mile of your house as of tomorrow. So, and that would have been on the 24th of July. You know, so I started asking about, what do you mean Taylor fell? And he said, well, he didn't really have an answer. He said, they found her in the water. This afternoon, and I said, so you're trying to tell me she fell, she sunk, and then she floats up? I mean, or what? And, you know, and so I'm like, well, what kind of injuries did she have? He said, well, there's a place that was on her head. And I said, so where is she? He said, well, she's here. I said, I want to see her. And then he said, well, yeah, you know, he said, I can't refuse you. He said, but you may not want to because, you know, there's some foam coming out of her nose and some things like that. He said, but I cannot allow you to touch the body or anything like that, but I can't refuse you to go in there. And I walked, paced back and forth and thought about it in a minute. Sherry was like, Brian, maybe not. You don't want to see her like that. I'm like, well, you know, something just doesn't rhyme here. And so that's all I can recall at that moment, and trying to ascertain as to what really was going on. It just didn't rhyme. You know, when you're talking about, I've known that baby ever since she was here, and her balance and her agility is second to none. I can't see her falling from a couch, much less from a cliff. You know, so I had questions then, and of course the shock of it all, and no answers and disbelief. Just was kind of floating to the next stage. That, what do we do now? Well, we go get the car. What do we do? What do we do?
Join us on Patreon if you want to look behind the curtain and see what really happens in.
Lauren's family gives their full permission for any and all details to be shared in hope that the truth will come out. If you know anything at all, call 1-888-599-0008 or email tips@SheilaWysocki.com. Next time on Without Warning.
You ought to tell Anna last night. She might have told you, you know, you can't stop this. You know, even if you would have hooked the ball and chained to her and handcuffed her to you, she might have survived this weekend. She might have got killed on the way home. If it's your time, it's over. You can't stop it. No matter what it is, everybody will die. It's no point. Everybody's going to die.
Without Warning, host and executive director and executive producer, Sheila Wysocki. Producers, Katie Zitzman and Aaron Parker. Editors, Mark Lambert, Katie Zitzman and Aaron Parker. Audio engineer and original music by Mark Lambert.
Narrator, Tim Evans. Mixing and mastering by Resonate Recordings.